Okay, so welcome everybody to this last presentation of the session. We will be talking about the serverless infrastructure that we have built for the Copernicus Emergency Management Program with the use of vector data and TIFF as PBF and COX. First of all, give you a little background on the project, on what we want to achieve. This works and all the outcomes have been financed by the Copernicus program. So let's go, after this disclaimer, let's go to the to the content of the presentation. Well, the emergency management system of Copernicus has two main ways to offer information. It works when there is a disaster. They put on quite a big process. They run satellites. They have over the area and so on, and they use OpenStreetMap data. So they produce map to be used on the field. Those are on-demand mapping for what they call rapid maps, and they also have risk and recovery maps for prevention and planning, and also for seeing how, after a disaster, a zone has evolved. All this information is generated by a group of people that takes all the data and produce the maps. And now it's evolving to a web environment. But there is a very, very strong and specific requirement with this architecture. This architecture has no databases and has no server backends, understanding them as a geo server or a map server, or of course there is an Apache or an engine and so on to publish the data, but there is no processing. Everything is asking to the server, retrieving the info, and everything is on the client side for the representation and so on. So we are using open source for all the process. And well, here is the reasoning behind all the information that we have to display. First of all, for the vector data consumption, we have a really very massive amount of data to be shown, around 100 million features, and also the OSM data. So in the beginning, we thought on sharing this data with WMS, WMST, or WFS, but finally, as there is this strong requirement, we went for the stack approach. Okay, as you can see, the requirements are no database again, no server backend, and the data has to be static. For the raster data, it's the same. They have the satellite imagery, and well, we have also to find a way to serve this data in. So there was not a backend with logic and resource consumption behind. So finally, the way to consume them was through the cloud-optimized COX. We will talk later on how we are approaching it, but we have a little bit trick with a proxy there, which is breaking a little the server backend principle, but we are working in a direct client consumption from the COG itself that is deployed. So we started to look for a serverless architecture. As we have said, for the stack, we have to organize a data catalog with folders, with a folder structure where we would store all the PBF and cloud optimized GeoTIFFs. For this, once we have this folder structure in place, we have a script. We have developed a script to generate the catalog JSON to be compliant with this stack structure, so you can know where the child, who are the childs of the folder, the parent, and so on. Then it came another requirement, as we are talking about Copernicus, European Commission, and so on. We needed to have all the information published in a catalog with CSV, and also with OpenAPI to find the data. So there we use registry, which is running behind PyCSW, and indexing everything in Elasticsearch. And then for the cloud optimized IoT, as we have said, we are working in a fully client implementation to consume the data directly from the folder structure. But for the moment, we are using the Radiant Earth proxy to consume the code directly on the client. This is an example of how we have organized the stack architecture. It's quite straightforward to see that we have organized the emergencies. Every time there is an emergency, there is what it's called an activation. And this activation has several folders with areas of interest, and then delineations, and then so on. And finally, you get to the data itself. As we have said, what we have in first place is the folder structure. We put the folders there, and then we distribute the data. And finally, once the folder is in place, we produce the catalog JSON. This catalog JSON, you can see it here, has the structure that follows the stack specification, where the links for the child, the parents, and the root. So you can go up and down the folder structure. Here, then, for the final approach, let's get a little bit into how we generate each of the components that we are the data tiles that we are using in PBF. Originally, as an input from the people that start mapping and delineating the roads and the areas of interest and so on, we have shape files, and then we converted it to PBF. But as we have said at the very beginning, we have lots of features. And with that kind of amount of data, DDAL was not working properly. Well, not properly, but not with the time that was needed to have the information in place. I mean, we are talking that this rapid mapping has to be up and ready in 2 hours. So we made some research on how to translate from shapefiles to the PBF, and for the amount of data we were needing, it took more than those 2 hours, up to 11. So we had to find another way, which was simple. Well, the solution was to ask for GeoJSON files as an input and use TPKNOE to generate the vector tiles. So here you have a sample on the timing that we have obtained for the generation of the PBFs, and then some options for the TPKNOE script. For the OSM, we also use the OSM data in the maps. The approach is simple also. You have to ask the area of interest to the OpenStreetMap API. So once you are there, you obtain the .osm file with all the data inside, and then you generate the vector tiles. In this case, you were using again a Python script. So we are converting this to the PBF. All this information is going to be spread into the different folders that we have seen here. You can see all the vector tiles, the OSM data, the how everything is placed in the stack structure. So we have up to here is, let's say, an organization of the data, and inside here it's the data itself. From this level and below, we have there all the PBF standing, and also the geotiffs. So here, and we have left behind the catalog. For the catalog, as we have been commenting before, we need this service to find all the data that we have in the stack catalog. So we use the registry to publish all the CSW services and also the open API, so we can make a filtering by name, by area of interest, and that kind of requests in the client, and you can add the information to the web client to be seen. And finally, let's get into the cogs. For the cogs, we have depending on the scale, we have different resolutions. And what we do here is a sampling of 8 bits, with an improved compression algorithm that we are using here. Well, the conversion script, we are using a conversion script that takes these resolutions and create several levels of tiling of the cogs. So what we have originally is a big image, and what we do is tiling it in the levels that we have also seen in this architecture, and putting here inside them all the geotiffs. Then the thing is how to consume these cogs. For these cogs, we found different difficulties on how to integrate it in the client. So we obtain it directly from the folder structure, but it's not recognized as an image itself when we make the request. So there is a tiler, as we commented in the very beginning, that we are using as a kind of proxy, which allows the browser to interpret the cog piece that we are requesting as an image. So we are using, at this moment, we are using this proxy to ask for the information and then display it in the client. This is also open source. It comes from Radiant Earth. They have a Docker file, so you can, well, they have a public service if you want to use it, and if you want to deploy it in your own premises, you can also do it by simply deploying the Docker server in any instance you have. Well, here we are using also Amazon, but you can do it in your own premises. And the second part here is how to integrate this in the viewer without using this, this proxy that allows us to display the cogs as an image. Okay, in this second approach, we are trying to make this tiling request of the geotiffs using the geotiff.js library. But we are here having some issues with regard the clipping of the tilings and also the integration in the client. For the client, we have not talked, because we have another session this afternoon, but we are using Mapbox.cl, so in a React environment. So we are consuming directly the PBFs from there and drawing in the map, using styling from Maputnik also. And for this representation of the PBFs, cogs, we are dealing with the proxy and integrating the geotiff.js, which is not available for the moment in Mapbox. And this is this is it. We have gone maybe quite fast, but if you want me to go back and you have any questions that you want to clarify, and you can also see the client or whatever, please feel free to. Sorry, because you need this for the video. Yeah.
Did you consider client-side tiling for the vector data?
For the vector data.
Did you consider to use client-side tiling? There's this library from Mapbox that is VT GeoJSON, which you can use to then pull in GeoJSON on the client, and then the browser will do the tiling for you.
Well, it was a requirement using directly the PBF, finally, so we could not use the GeoJSON as it is. We struggled a lot with the web client representation. We tried to do it with Kepler, with DeckGL, but they are very oriented to represent the GeoJSONs. So when we have a PBF tiled, one of the way that we found was to take this tiled PBF directly from the Mapbox using the Mapbox GL.js API in PBF format. I don't know if it's okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Hi, you've gone to some extensive measures there to go serverless or as much serverless as you can.
Yes.
The main incentive for that? Was it cost or something else as well?
Well, maintaining the data. Not only the cost, but also the need to have ready an infrastructure that where you just drop the input from a different and very separated team who doesn't know anything about IT, who doesn't work with databases, with a classic PostGIS and then a IO server, and then you write everything there, and then you publish a layer and so on, and then you put it in the viewer. You just drop the agreement. It's operational mainly. You drop all the data there. You press the run scripts, and they are there. Then it's about also performance. If the people from the emergency is massively using the server part, they will need also to put in place and scale up infrastructure. Your server, you have to put several nodes and so on. They are moving a lot of data, and they are really heavy. So with this as much serverless as we can, you are picking it up directly. So there is no heavy process there. So it's operational mainly. Any other questions? Okay, so if you want to continue, this was the first part, let's say. If you want to know a little bit more about the client and how we have organized this, we have another talk at 5 o'clock, so, well, with you there. Thank you.